In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
No, there was always a key on this ring. But that's not the story. I was just praying and said, "Lord, open the door." And the wind opened the door, but not the door to the house. So the Lord is opening a door today for us in the name of Jesus. A brand new door is opening up in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of his blood. A brand new door. I believe it. Let me tell you this. This is very important because on next Wednesday, that's the Wednesday after Labor Day, we are going to celebrate Mass at the Espousal Retreat House, and it's going to be for all those lost children that do not go to church, that have turned away from the Lord, that are into materialism. We're going to celebrate Mass for them, even as God changed Augustine through the prayers of Monica. We are going to celebrate the Eucharist for them, all your lost children, your lost nieces, your lost nephews at the Espousal Retreat House. It begins at 7 o'clock. It'll be the Wednesday after Labor Day. The Wednesday after Labor Day. I will repeat that at the end. I received a beautiful letter just yesterday, and it was from a little boy named Jonah. Now, Jonah is 6 years old, and he writes to me like this. "Dear Father Tom, I sometimes listen to you on the radio." And he says to me, "I am sending you $5. I open my piggy bank, and I want you to have this $5. I would like you to keep it for yourself because you always give things away. But you can use it for the poor if you like. Father Tom, you know, you give things away and somebody has to take care of you." Imagine a six-year-old little boy. Imagine that. Then he says, "Father Tom, I am beginning kindergarten on Friday, and I want you to pray for me because I'm starting kindergarten." And I'm just going to tell you, this little letter is just the best. Like someone hears the word of God on the radio, and he opens his little piggy bank to send $5 to Father Tom. He said, "Go out to lunch if you'd like." Well, Jonah, I am so grateful. But you see, I believe that I'm going to plant this $5, and it's going to grow. I'm going to give it to the poor, and it's going to grow. I believe that. And you know, Jonah, the $5 that you gave me will grow too, because you had a heart to give. And because you had a heart to give, God will give to you. The scripture says, Jonah, "Give and you will receive, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." So Jonah, already at the age of 6, you are learning how to give. And that's from God, Jonah. You know why? Because God the Father so loved us that he gave Jesus. Because God is the great giver. You've got to remember that. We are not the great givers. God the Father is the great giver. And he gave us Jesus. And because he gave us Jesus, my Lord, he gave us everything. So at an early age, Jonah, you have been learning how to give. And I want to ask God to continue to teach you how to give. Because in giving, we receive. In pardoning, we are pardoned. You're a good boy, Jonah. And you've got a beautiful mother. And you live in the country. And I hope your first day at school was the best. I'm so grateful for you. I would like a picture of you. I would like to see who Jonah is. And I will call you on the telephone. I will. So thank you, Jonah, for making my day yesterday. Imagine, a 6-year-old child. That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. And Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is a little child with a big heart. Maybe one day you, one day in the past, you were a little child with a big heart. Maybe one day in the past, you were that little child, Jonah, just like him. But something's happened in your life that has ruined you. Something's happened in your life that's tainted you. Something's happened in your life that's made you bitter. Something's happened in your life that's made you hateful. Something's happened in your life that you've closed your heart. I want to tell you, the real you was the Jonah in you. That little boy with the big heart. That little child with the big heart. And you say, yeah, but when I opened my heart, people would step on it. When I opened my heart, it would be crushed. When I opened my heart, it would be shattered. When I opened my heart, bad things happened. Well, you know what? You closed your heart and you're miserable. Now, if you'd rather be miserable, have a nice day and a nice Labor Day weekend. You know? If you closed your heart, have a nice day and a lovely Labor Day weekend. But Jonah, with his little heart that's open, I tell you, he'll receive blessings. And I pray that any time he experienced obstacles to opening his heart, that he would always, 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 always say no. Let me tell you about the time I closed my heart. It was during Christmas. I was the only one with Christmas spirit in my house. I was the one that would decorate and would sing, and I had all the Scrooges around me. They were all Scrooges. My mother was a Scrooge around Christmas. My father was a big Scrooge around Christmas. And my brother didn't even care. So I would be the one that would decorate, and I would be the one to put the lights up, and I would be the one to put the tree up. Yes, I would be the one. I would be the one. And I did it 1 year, and I did it 2 years, and I kept on doing it until one day I said, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm tired of it. I'm the only one in this house that has this kind of spirit that wants to celebrate the Lord's birth. And so I closed my heart. I closed my heart. That's true. No more. No more. I will not decorate. I'll celebrate the feast of Christmas, but I will not decorate. I will not do these things anymore. You know why? Because I'm sick of being the only one. I closed my heart. I did. And so every time the Christmas rolled around, I would dread the coming of Christmas because I closed my heart. The heart of a child was no longer the heart of a child. It was the heart of a bruised, angry, bitter person. Why won't they help me? Why won't they have this kind of spirit? What? I closed my heart. And so when Christmas would come, I would just literally say, you know what? I'm tired of it all. Thank God it'll soon be over. I carried this when I was a priest. I went to an Irish house, and Father Heary loved Christmas. He would have a big Christmas tree and all this kind of stuff, and still I closed my heart. It wasn't until Father Martin was here that he bought a tree, and we decorated it, and we had fun, and I decided again to open my heart. I decided again that it was time to open my heart. No more would I be bitter. No more would I be angry. I would do what I had to do, and I wanted to do it. I had someone to do it with. And maybe that was just about the time when we're inviting all these people to come to our house for Christmas dinner. I opened my heart. Maybe you had a heart like Jonah once, heart that was really open, heart that was vulnerable and people stepped on it and trashed it. I know what you're talking about, because I could give you many more examples. The Christmas one is a very little one. I could give you very many. I could write the book, and it would be volumes. But you know, if you close your heart, the only one that suffers is you. If you close your heart, the only one that suffers is you. But you say, I don't want to be hurt anymore. Then you know what? You need to dig a grave and jump in it. I can understand you saying, I don't want to be hurt for a time. Everybody needs a break. But then again, after the time, you've got to become vulnerable again. Jesus became vulnerable, even unto death, death on a cross. And I know everybody gets hurt. As I say, we're all victims, you know. You're a victim, and I'm a victim, and we're all... But you know what? The people in the Holocaust, Jews and Christians, were victims. And many of them came out with smiles years later. We can overcome our victimhood through grace and through the blood of Jesus. We can become the victor and not the victim. We can become the head and not the tail. We can. That's the promise of Deuteronomy. That God makes us the head and not the tail, the victor and not the victim. But that is totally up to you and totally up to me. But I will say what you need grace. Everybody needs grace. You can't do it on your own. You need to pray for the grace to be open, the grace to be a child again, the grace to give your heart to Jesus again. The grace to be vulnerable. Will you get hurt? Yes, you will. I'm going to tell you, going to get hurt. But you know what? I don't want to be isolated and only care for who I am. That is the biggest boring thing in the whole world. I want to live a life that's lighting lights in other people's lives. I want to be a sign of hope. Yes, even a lighthouse. It's one of my favorite symbols. I don't want to be closed in on myself. I want to reach out. And will some people abuse it? Of course they will. I couldn't tell you the number of times I've been stolen from by people that I've helped. But you know what? If they said they were sorry, I always took them back. But I was a little more careful with them. I remember the time I was on my way to Maine, and I opened a certain drawer where I had money for the poor, and a lot of it was missing. So I said to the people downstairs, I'm going to Maine for the day. We're going swimming with Father Martin and Father Matthew. He was a seminarian at the time. And I knew someone had been stealing, and I even knew who it was. I said, when that person goes up to my room, I want you to sneak up 5 minutes later, see what he's doing. And there he was, stealing money. He said, oh no, I'm fixing the air conditioner. Yeah. I'm taking the bird's nest off the air conditioner. Yeah. So I faced him face to face, and I said, I know you were stealing from me. Not me. I said, I know you were stealing from me. Oh, no, I never stole from you. I said, listen, there are three people who know it. God, you, and me. And the person who caught you. So let me tell you this. You only need to say you're sorry, and I'll forgive you. But I'll have to have my eye on you more. I helped this person a lot. They were poor. I never stole. I said, until you apologize, I cannot take you back. I never saw the person again, unfortunately. But it's a real violation when somebody you care for steals from you. Two Thanksgivings ago, I had bought a brand new iPod. And there was this kid who came to our house. He was homeless. And you know, I really am naive. I am naive. My iPod was on the chest of drawers or wherever it was in the dining room, whatever you call that thing. Buffet. And then it was gone. I knew who took it. Never returned. And he never returned. But you know what? Some beautiful lady sent me her iPod. I still have it. And I use it. I will not be a person who will not be vulnerable. Because you know why? It's better to die. I don't mean we aren't supposed to be a little prudent, and I don't use that word very often because, you know what? We are so prudent that we're not loving. The virtue of the day is always love, not prudence. Faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. It never talks about prudence, but we must be prudent in some ways, and most of the time, I'm not prudent, and that's a fault. But you know what? Better to be a lover and a giver and even to be betrayed than not to have loved at all. Does it hurt? Oh yeah, it hurts. There's nothing more painful than unrequited love when you love someone and they don't love you back and they even steal from you. There's nothing more painful. But let me tell you this. That's the story of the Father and the story of Christ and the story of the Holy Spirit. Completely giving us themselves. Completely giving us Jesus. Completely giving us adoption through the blood, through baptism and faith. And no one says thank you for the most part. Unrequited love. Oh, the Father knows what it is not to be thanked. And you know, sometimes I am in that situation, very ungrateful. All that he does for me, very ungrateful. That's why I say to people the greatest prayer that you can say and mean from your heart is, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. And so Jonah gave me the idea today to speak to you about being vulnerable. But you need grace because your heart is too hard to change yourself. You can't do it. I can't do it. You need the grace that flows from Calvary, the grace that flows like a torrent of love. You need to pray for that grace. You need to pray that you'd be open to that grace. You need to pray for that grace to come. And if you're not ready for that grace, pray to be ready for that grace. And if you're not praying to be ready for that grace, pray to be ready to be ready to be ready to receive that grace. You need that grace from Jesus Christ. You cannot do it your own. You cannot do it on your own. You've been too hurt. Your heart is like a clam. You cannot open your heart. You need Jesus to come and touch it, to come and soothe it, to come and love you. That's what you need. And then the heart will open little by little, and you can venture out again and begin to live. Because not to love is to die. Not to care is to die. Not to be vulnerable is to be a machine. And I want to tell you, I am so sick of machines. You always get them on the telephone. You always get them in the insurance company. You always even get them in the rectories. you want to speak to Father Tom, dial 1. You want to speak to Jesus Christ, dial 7. We're dialing 7 or dialing 1. Listen, there's nothing like a human being. Nothing like a, I drive those answering machines crazy when they say, say yes, and I say, yes, dear. What did you say? Say yes. Yes, honey. I will transfer you to an operator. Just what I wanted. Don't need to be talking to a machine. They don't do anything for me, I tell you, those machines. Grace and truth come from Jesus. Grace and truth come from Jesus. Grace and truth come from Jesus Christ. Grace and truth come from Jesus Christ. Let that grace flow into our wounded hearts, into our stony hearts, into our hearts that have closed like clams. The grace that flows from the cross of Jesus Christ. Please, Lord. Amen. You will hear this broadcast again on Labor Day. It's worth repeating, even though it's a little short because my door did not open. But I think it's worth repeating because we have a lot of laborers and a few lovers. Let me also tell you this. Revival continues tonight on Friday night. Last night, you missed it. If you weren't there on Thursday, you missed some wonderful, wonderful happenings. Oh, yes, there was a woman with the MS that we prayed with, Paula, and you know what? She was able to stand on one foot and then on the other. She hasn't been able to do that in years. Then we prayed for someone whose back was severely hurt, and he was able to be without pain. We had a beautiful little child there, 13 years old, that has the ability of a 10-month-old, and we prayed with her and the mother and soaked them in love. She's so beautiful, Sinead. Oh, my Lord, you missed the worship last night. It was so wonderful. Tonight's Friday, and we'll have it again. Friday, come. You have nothing to do on Labor Day weekend? Well, come to the Espousal Retreat House on Friday. Come and worship with us, because you know what? The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Come with your needs. Come with your pots and pans. We need pots and pans tonight. People come with their pots and pans and their tambourines and their flags and their dancing shoes. Let me also tell you this. Tonight is Friday, the Friday before Labor Day, but we, on the Wednesday after Labor Day, will be meeting at the Espousal Retreat House, and we will have a Mass for all the people who are wayward, like all of our children, our grandchildren, and that will be held at 7 o'clock at the Espousal Retreat House. You can come at 7:15 because we say the rosary, we pray the rosary first. So you come tonight, Friday, join with us as we celebrate the Labor Day weekend in praise. And then on Wednesday, we celebrate Mass and worship for all the wayward people. And we're going to believe that God will draw them to Himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to believe that. We're going to believe that. We're going to believe that. St. Joseph, I ask you to pray for us. I ask that the intercession of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, would be a top priority in our lives. Because, you know, Lord, we need you, Jesus, more than anything. And we thank you for that family that you were brought up in. Mary and Joseph, those two who loved you and loved each other so purely and so wonderfully. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would pour out your Spirit upon broken hearts and that you would draw people tonight on Friday to the Espousal Retreat House at 7 and that you would draw people on Wednesday as we celebrate for wayward children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, brothers, sisters. Because you know what? You love to see people come back to you and the church.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.